Welcome back to the Raise Up Podcast. I'm your host, Athena, and I'm joined today by Kimberly Fisher, who has been a dear friend of mine and sister in this entrepreneurial journey, really of our lives together. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk today about intentions and what is it about intentions that make life so important. So, Kimberly, we were kind of kicking around before things started, just how important intentions are, just not just to our thoughts, but what we decide for our life.
Right.
And so what, if you could think back to a time when you had really no awareness of how powerful intentions were, like, what was that pivotal point where you're like, oh my gosh, the light bulb hit? Hmm. Intentions are so much.
I read this book, I think it was called Start, that he said you can change the way you think just by being intentional about what you pay attention to. And specifically, he was talking about how criticism affects us. When you listen to someone giving you criticism, you need to be intentional about realizing, is this criticism something that is constructive, or is it just aiming to hurt me? And then know the difference and pay attention to it. And I actually took and I wrote on my mirror, constructive criticism aims to help, criticism aims to hurt, pay attention to the right one. And I left it on my mirror for months because I wanted to change the way I responded and received criticism, because I was one of these people that you couldn't say anything that I did anything without me feeling like you ripped the rug out from under me. And that was the beginning of realizing that I can change the way that I think just by being intentional. And it was a pretty cool starting of a journey of taking my thoughts and just really realizing that I can control them instead of them controlling me. I think moving forward, we're both very busy. There's a lot of things that I'd like to get done with my time. You told me that about, I think you should say it again, how busy can you be in a day and how you were being intentional and what you were actually thinking about giving up. What did you say?
Oh gosh, like we have had so many conversations over time. Like, remind me where you're headed with this.
You were talking about water. Drinking water.
Oh, yes, yes. So, you know, I think that really, I look back on that season of my life because I really wanted to have everything mapped out, planned out. I wanted it to be at the height of the productivity. Like, if I only have 24 hours in the day, I'm going to make it count. And I've always been kind of that, like, all-in person.
Yeah.
Where I'm going to own this. And so it took to a level of where I was like, gosh, if I could figure out how to not have to go to the bathroom so many times, that I could get back a chunk of my day because I drink so much water. That was a younger version of me. And of course, this version of me is like, that is the most ridiculous thing.
I just think, like, it's hilarious though.
But it's real. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are some people out there that are like, I just don't want to devote time to that. It's not necessarily that you don't have time. It's that you don't want to devote time to that because you're in this like goal obtaining orientation mode of some kind.
True.
And it's like, I think for some of us, we get down the road and we realize, oh shit, like my ladder's up against the wrong wall.
Yeah.
And for me, I think that I have learned so much about optimization from a productivity standpoint that I can do things faster than a lot of people can. And especially some of the stuff that I've been doing for a long time, like, I've been an entrepreneur and been in business for most of my adult life now. Mm-hmm. And so somebody looking in on my processes and my routines, they're like, how do you do all of this? And it's like, yeah, it's true. We have this larger transportation organization. We have the ambulance service. We're currently running two job sites right now for building a home and renovating a large project, plus our family, plus whatever else like gets kicked in doing the podcast. And it's like, it doesn't feel like a heavy lift for me though. Mm-hmm. And it boils down to the intentions that I've set for myself. Like, my intention is to have joy in my life and to do things that bring me joy. This brings me joy, like hanging out with my friends and talking about things that could potentially bless someone else, and creating brings me joy, and design work brings me joy, and collaboration brings me joy. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I make a joke that we happen to be getting people from point A to point B in the middle of all of my joy.
Right. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. But it's not something like, you have a younger team member that works for you, and they see everything. They start to see everything that takes to run a restaurant organization, and they're like, "And you manage to like do what with the Small Business Development Center?" They can't even fathom it.
Yeah, someone said that this morning. They were surprised at the level of things that I can get done. But I'm intentional with my time, and I block time specifically, and I plan out my day ahead of time. For instance, it's really important to me to exercise every day, so I am intentional. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I go to the gym. Technically I get up and I have quiet time. I spend some time reading the Bible, and then I go to the gym, and then I come back and I get some work done on the computer, and then I have to go to the office. But it's about intention. And so in order for me to do that and still get a good night's sleep, I go to bed at a specific time, and I'm just, you're right, it's just about intention. But if it's not on your schedule, you're not going to do it. That's how I feel. If it's not on the schedule, it's not going to happen.
If you want to know anything about somebody, look at their schedule.
Yeah.
Like, there are reminders in my schedule. There's tasks in my schedule that are just meant for me I'm time blocking between 12 and 1 because this is important, and I'm inserting that task in. So one of the tools I use is my Google Calendar. And it's like, it's not a to-do list. It's more like an optimization list, because it's got my meetings in there. It's got my tasks that have been inserted in there. And then it's even got like reminders, mm-hmm, to call friends on a reoccurring basis. I even have my children on my schedule.
Shh, don't tell them.
They know, because they can see my schedule. But the point is that otherwise, if you leave it open, like, I'm not scheduled every second of the day, but the stuff that really matters makes it on there in an intentional way. Mm-hmm. I'm setting the intention that I'm spending time in this zone of my life.
Agreed.
And, you know, a long time ago, when I mentioned to my husband that we could put like time together on our schedule, and he was like, "That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard," you know. But it's like, really, what a lovely thing that is, to have this intention that the next segment, which is the next hour of your day, you've already got that planned, that you're going to do this. It's not just people hijacking you all day long.
Right. Yeah, and it's also being intentional about what's important in your marriage, because without having connection with your spouse, you're...
Yes.
And if you're just hoping for it to spontaneously happen, or if you're, life is going to take over, children are going to take over, yeah, there's always going to be something else that is going to fill the schedule. I agree. I remember when, long time ago, I read the book Love and Respect, and one of the things that he talks about in there is... being intentional with the way that you talk to your spouse. And I hadn't realized how little I complimented my husband. And he made the suggestion to write in a card and say something about them that you really appreciated, just to give them a compliment, but be very intentional about it, specific, and so that they know exactly what you're talking about. So I laid that out, and all of a sudden, Bill was like a completely different person, and I thought, hey, I figured out how to manipulate my husband, when in reality is he was starving for my affection. And so I actually wrote it in my calendar 3 times a day to remind myself to compliment my husband, which sounds really, really terrible, but I really needed that, because it wasn't natural. I was raised to believe that respect is earned and things like that, that I just never understood that that was what fed him and made him feel empowered and strong. And looking at him now, 20 years later, it's amazing the person that he is, and I'm super grateful. And I really think that he was always wonderful. I just didn't really intentionally focus on it like I did then. And that was pretty cool to see that happen. So even with how we treat each other, we can be intentional.
You know, the way that we treat ourselves reflects like a mirror to the way that you're treating those close relationships. And I think that that is probably at the point where there was some sort of breakthrough for you through that book, because we cannot give from a cup that is overflowing if we're not first reflecting within our own space. And I think that's what like your quiet time does for you. That's intentional. Listening to
quiet time saves lives.
I think that lots of people would agree with you that quiet time saves lots of lives, especially lots of children's lives. But
I couldn't believe how noisy my children were. And I was not a very nice person if I didn't get up first and had that quiet time before they were bouncing off the walls and being noisy. My husband's noisy. That's what he does. He never stops making noise.
I call my husband extra. He's not necessarily noisy, but I can always count on him to bring the extra. And I appreciate that amusement that he brings to my life.
It's true.
You have a similar parallel, is that your husband tends to bring amusement if you choose to decide that it's amusing.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to see.
There's
it as
sometimes
something fun
that you can't like. I remember. So both of us have been married for over 20 years, yeah. and so we've shared this time together, and we know our families, and so it's like this parallel of really at the end of it, it was never really them in whatever was going on. It was how intentional did we show up that day? Were we showing up for ourselves? Were we showing up for them, our marriage, for work? And I'm not meaning like look perfect and act perfect. What I mean is it's like everybody has a limit. Like your 100% today might look like tomorrow's 70%, but tomorrow that's 100% of what you can bring. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it was like 150% is what I needed to bring all the time. And now in this season, I'm realizing it's like, things are not so serious. You can have a good time. And I don't need to be doing so much to be like, I just need to be more and do less.
I like that.
And in my being, who I authentically am, which is somebody who absolutely adores my husband's humor and appreciates the people around me. Like when I show up in that state, then people show up in their own states. And I think that's what you saw in Bill was it's like, once again, you're shown that you have such an impact, not control over, but you have a positive influence.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can call out the greatness in people by highlighting them. Compliments do a world of difference, and specific, intentional compliments.
Yes.
I see it in my staff at work. I have a particular employee that started baking, and I was complimenting him on the baking that he was doing, and then he was going home and practicing baking
at home
so that he could do a better job at work when he was baking.
Because you were fanning the flame of encouragement.
Just encouragement does a world of wonders in people's lives. It was pretty neat. And then I have another staff member, same thing, encouraging his innovative skills and the things that he's doing. And he's coming back with all kinds of ideas and doing research. And it's just really neat to see that in people. And I love being encouraging. It's one of my favorite things. You can just see people really lifted up by someone being encouraging.
I think at the heart of encouragement is this intentional space to have gratitude. Mm-hmm. And when you're grateful, it's hard to be an asshole.
It's true.
Yeah. And it's hard to, you're looking through this lens of gosh, this is I get to instead of I have to, or mm-hmm. this is happening for me instead of it's happening to me. Mm-hmm. And people respond to that in a real way. It's not just you responding to yourself. It's when you show up in that capacity, it like radiates around you. Mm-hmm. And then other people, like you just mentioned, you show up in this capacity and they are absolutely responding in this reciprocal way mm-hmm. that I believe is really a true, is like who they really are.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can we keep encouraging everyone to just be who they really are? Because at the end of it, it's like, it comes from this space of like cooperation and this like higher place of love. That feels like maybe there isn't room in business for love sometimes for people, but I feel like it's everything.
Well, I think you have to define what love is. Love is helping people to be the best versions of themselves. Which
I absolutely agree with you, and I think that that is this piece of like what Raise Up is the A in accountability. It's like I've been in meetings where we've separated people, and it wasn't because of we don't like you. It was like it's clear to me that this is not a good space for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not serving you by allowing you to continue in this behavior here. Mm-hmm. And I'm not serving the team. And so the best thing for you and us is to separate at this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, even for the young people especially that work for us. And I know you have a part of your duties and jobs that you have within the restaurant. That's predominantly a young person's role. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like you're constantly standing in accountability in these spaces where it's like I'm loving you enough to say this is enough.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do is to fire somebody. I was actually just talking about it this morning with my husband that I don't know why it doesn't bother me when people complain. And I'm sure it's just because of the years of being in this industry, and I just have high expectations for people, and I think it's good for them, and so the best compliments
rise. In yeah. most cases, if you have low expectations, that's as high as it'll get. Mm-hmm. And so if you keep it on this higher level, like obtainable goals, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I do expect this level of performance mm-hmm. because I'm here showing up for you and myself, and I expect you to be showing up for you right. and for us.
Agreed. And that actually also goes for yourself and how you show up for yourself. I think there were many years where I said to myself that, I wish I would get out and exercise more, or I wish I would eat more better, you know, do things that were healthier for myself. And I think it's really important to really do an evaluation of your own self and what's the most loving thing that you can do for yourself.
You know, as we're in this 2025 era now, and we're thinking about, gosh, I'm looking back on 2024 and I'm assessing like what am I carrying forward and what am I not carrying forward? Is mm-hmm. there anything that resonates with you that starting in this new year, like that you're carrying forward as like, this is something that's important to me that I'm going to be intentional about?
Well, it sounds silly, but speaking truth about things that that I believe about myself and realizing them. Like, for instance, I actually really like myself when I think there was a time that I didn't like myself. And then speaking about the things that I'm good at. Like, I'm really good at that. And it's okay for me to say that I'm really good at that. And I'm really proud of myself because I'm good at that. And also realizing that if I'm not good at it, it's just yet. It's just today, I'm not there yet, but I'm going to get there. There's a story about this cycling group. And I think about you because you, you've always been so amazing. I remember when we were teenagers, you had applied for a job and you'd never done any bookkeeping and you got them to hire you and you taught yourself bookkeeping. And I've always marveled at your ability to do and create. And
I also could buy cigarettes before we were old enough. That's true. There's a shadow to that.
But regardless, you've always just been this adventurous, I'm just going to do everything. And for some people, you can look at that and go, I'll never reach that level of perfection. This person just has it. And it's just the it factor that is never on me. But there's a story about the cycling group in Britain that they had. They were the worst cyclers in the whole world. And they had asked for this one cycling group to allow them to use their bikes. And the bike company didn't want their name on their bikes. So they said no. And they got a new coach. And the new coach started to evaluate everything about the team. He decided to adjust their sheets and their pillows so that they would get a little bit more sleep. He just kept looking for the little one percenter. How can you be a little bit better 1% at a time? He got better clothing for them. He had them do training exercises. Everything that he did, they were just little tiny tweaks. I mean, I just thought right down to the pillow he adjusted, and they ended up winning the whatever race that they were on. And thinking about that story and how a lot of us think that we have to go run marathons or do great big things or apply for a job that we have no experience and ace it, you know. But we don't necessarily have to do that. It's just the little steps forwards of paying attention to what's positive. And I love gratitude for that reason, because it gives you that little bit forward, a little bit forward. Even when bad things happen, I go, you know what are we going to look for that's good that's in this? And for instance, today, I had several people call in sick, and one of the other owners of my other restaurants came over to help us. And I just thought, you know, I just love the fact that everything always seems to work out, even though it feels like it's not going to work out.
Or that you have to figure it out.
Or that I have to work out. Or I have to be the only, that one's another one, trusting my leaders. But it's just a little bit better than yesterday, and it's really okay that it's not perfect.
Yeah,
that's and
it's
a
like
big circle, but
I find that the variety in it, like I really enjoy the variety. I like variety. And so if it was the same and everything was like expected, it would be less amusing for me. Yeah. And I see the truth in that now, that I really have a lot of joy in amusement. And if it was less than perfect, then I also have an opportunity to encourage whatever is going on and remind people of really like what we stand for here. And it's hard to fall out of gratitude, and you get momentum on it and it's like it just continues to grow. Right. And I love what you said about you don't have to run a marathon. You can make some small changes. And there's lots of experiments over the years that I have ran. I know I've driven my husband insane at times because I am constantly tweaking that. Does this make sense? And some of it is around my diet. Some of it, like, even my bed. Like, when you peel back, like, the intentionality and the different experiments I've ran, like, it's got a specific mattress, it's got a specific mattress topper, it's got a specific grounding pad, it's got specific sheets. I sleep with one specific pillow that does not elevate my head too much to where it closes my airway at night. Like, I bring that pillow with me everywhere. It's like, there are so many things, right down to my clothes, that I made decisions a long time ago that have set me in a routine and a pattern, but it all didn't happen at once. Mm-hmm. It was this little step here. Mm-hmm. I decided pillows were important to me so I could get good sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, good sleep really is centered around a lot of the things that I do. But it was just these little tiny things over time, like you said. Mm-hmm. And it's like just reaching for those and having the intention that I'm going to have a good night's sleep. I'm going to feel good in my body. I'm going to enjoy the people that I'm around, whether I'm working or not working. I'm going to not smell, you know, if you're a teenager. And so my intention is to shower every day. You know, it's like we all have these things that we could be doing where it's just the 1%. Mm-hmm. But when you add it up over the course of your life, it's huge.
It makes a huge difference. Yep. And making little changes becomes big changes over long period of time, especially in your the way that your brain acts and behaves. That was the one thing that when I started getting healthier, my doctor said, just do one thing, not all of them. But the change, the biggest thing that she said to me was to don't do the same thing every day anymore. Don't eat the same food. Don't drive to work the same way. Don't brush your teeth the same way. Don't take a shower the same way. All those little things, you start making changes and it makes a world of a difference.
Well, it gets you in this place of, oh, I'm doing something new. And so then you have these neural pathways that are starting to create in your brain, and it's like, oh, this is different. Okay.
Right.
Brushing my teeth with the wrong hand.
Yeah.
You know, but then you get to a point where it's like you can brush with both hands. And so then what's next? You're going to start brushing with your foot? Like, you're going to have to switch to something.
Just doing new things. New things is good. Change is good.
You know, you mentioned something earlier too, is that you will pair changes together to add up to success. And I think like one of the changes that came to my mind is I'm making my green drink elixir in the morning. At the same time, I'm loading the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. Like that's a habit that I have where I've got the dishes done within a few minutes and my drink's filling up with hot water. And there's like all these little things that if you know you brush your teeth every day, well, what's something else that you can layer into that space, whether it's at the bathroom counter or in the shower or whatever, that you could bring something into the fold that would feel like an easy lift?
Right. Back when I was waitressing, my mom gave me some really good advice. She said, never go out of the kitchen with something in your hands and never go in the kitchen without something in your hands. And I thought that was good advice. And so, like, if I'm going upstairs, I look to see what should I be bringing with me to go up the stairs.
I feel like that's in my own intrinsic house. To women in general.
Maybe
like,
not necessarily everyone thinks that way, but I think it's just a time saver. It's for sure. Being intentional. My other thing is don't put it down, put it away. I actually made a video for my staff, and I said, oh, don't put it down. Put it away, because you do. You're like, I'm busy, I'm gonna set this here. But it's really two more steps and it's put away instead of leaving it out.
And then you can find it again later.
Yeah, then you know where it's at. Yeah, yeah.
I think that's four different scenes.
Don't put it down,
intention.
Put it away.
That's a wonderful intention.
I do it to myself too, because I'll get home and I'll take my jacket off and I'll throw it on the chair and I'll go, oh, that's not where that goes. Don't put it down, put it away. It goes on the back of the door. It's three more steps. It's really not that difficult. Yeah, and your life, you spend less time cleaning if you do that.
Just take the first 2 seconds when you're walking in the door. Like, it absolutely makes sense.
It does. You get out of bed, make the bed real quick. Takes 2 seconds. Yeah.
There's all these little rewards that we can have for ourselves when we turn around and we look at, gosh, you know, this is the day that I created for myself. My bed is made. My coat's hanging where it needs to be. I'm being an example for others around me. Mm-hmm. I genuinely feel happy in my skin and my body. And I'm doing things that encourage light to continue to like radiate out of me. And others are impacted in a positive way.
Yeah. I'm showing up as a better version of myself.
Yeah. I know I've said this before on the podcast, and I'm probably one of those weird entrepreneurs that I don't pay any attention to our competition. Like, Charlie tends to look and kind of, you know, have a 411 on some of what's going on, but I'm so focused on showing up as a better version of ourselves as an organization and myself as a human that I don't have time to compare myself to what they're doing. Now, it's not to say that I don't, like, I do engage in learning opportunities, especially industry learning opportunities, mm-hmm. but it's usually from people who are coming with a teacher's heart,
right.
Not just like watching what the competition is up to. And I think that has always served me. And I focus less on what other people think about what I'm doing.
I think it's important. I love how you said that you just focus on what you're doing. Because if you do, you stay in your own lane. How many times do you watch like the Olympics and you see somebody swimming and they look over at the competition as
and
what
then they
caused
lose.
Them to lose?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's a good analogy.
You're running your own race. Don't pay attention to anybody else. Just do what you're doing and do it really, really well. That's really important.
Well, and picking a lane, I think, has been something that I've been really fortunate to like have like a good idea about early mm-hmm. on, whereas other people have kind of bounced and they're not quite sure, well, what is the next step for me? I mean, especially in this turn of the year when you're faced with, I realize that I don't want to do this, so I know what I don't want, but now what do I want? And it's like you have to be intentional about writing that down. Mm-hmm. Because everybody knows what they don't want. There's only a select few who know what they do want. Writing it down and getting really clear and then putting some action items, even if it's only 1%, changes towards that. It'll get you, the momentum just like continues to grow and grow. Mm-hmm. What is something that you guys have set, you and Bill have set as business owners for your intention together?
Explain that question a little bit more.
So it could be, we know we're doing this for 2025. Like this is something that we're working together on. Like for instance, Charlie and I are on the same, we want to expand our real estate portfolio. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at absolutely one more property, maybe two. Mm-hmm. And if there's more opportunities, we're not going to say no, but we're going to be intentional about we'll be having one rental property coming on board that's quite large, and then we're looking for like a mid-size rental.
I think that's fantastic. We are definitely going into real estate, but we're also expanding the supplement gummy bear business. That's been something that we've been really intentionally working on. And I think we would sort of like to live not in Alaska in the summer.
So what you're saying is it's not Alaska. You like to be warm.
I like to be warm. I really miss being warm. And so, yeah, that's been our intention, to try to figure out how we can be in both places at once. We'll see how that works out. We also have our blended, not shaken podcast that we are really trying to be a blessing and a help. Bill and I, having been married and been through quite a bit, feel like there's hope for people, especially in blended family situations. So that's something that we really work on a lot of. We also read a lot of books together, which I really appreciate. That's something that I never thought that I would have with my husband, but we have these common interests of being better at these spaces in our lives. So we read a lot together. So going into 2025, I would say those are probably pretty big focal points. The one thing that both of us, and it was just recent that we started being more intentional with our time, is scheduling our time. What are we doing with our days?
Yeah.
Pace Morby said, show me your schedule and I'll show you how much money you have. And some days you just kind of go to work and you're like, okay, what am I going to deal with today? Instead of, well, today this is what I'm doing with my day. And I think I sort of lean more on the what am I going to deal with today more than I was intentional with, how am I going to, what are the things that are going to drive us in the right direction today?
Yeah.
So.
And it comes back to the schedule mm-hmm. and looking at the schedule.
Blocking time.
Yeah. And, you know, for some of us, it means that we've got to get up earlier in the morning mm-hmm. because we all have the same amount of hours in the day. And it was like it's a hit to like really, if you're a night person or if you're somebody who thinks that you need to have 9 hours of sleep, it's like the rest of the grown-ups disagree.
Well, let's not discount sleep.
Sleep is good, but like my teenager, one of my teenagers who gets a lot of sleep, but it's not the quality sleep.
Yeah.
And so it's not always restful sleep. And there's pieces of our life where we've got to focus on the quality, the food that we're bringing into our body, the time that we're spending with others and connecting, the time that we're giving to our businesses. I mean, if you planned out your week and said, I'm only allowed to work 20 hours a day, 20 hours a week, what would you have to schedule? Like you'd make every single second of those 20 mm-hmm. hours count, wouldn't you?
I really would, yeah.
Yeah. And so then it's like, what's stopping you from doing that now? it's like, wait a minute. If I decided that I was only, and for some of you, you're working 60, 70, 80 hour weeks. It's like, if I only scheduled myself for 50 hours, if I'm a 60, 70, 80 hour week person, what would that look like? Because I promise you, the sky is not going to fall. Like, everything that you think needs to get done, probably 25% of that doesn't even matter.
Right.
But you feel like it's everything and that you must be doing instead of just being. And I know that when I'm not on the train at work with the rest of the team members that are in the doing mode, I can hold space for them in the being realm. And then I'm like, lock your eyes on me, everything is going to be just fine. And it's really interesting how you can kind of like pull people back in and go, yeah, you're right. This is just part of the process, and we're good. It's like breathing. Sometimes you got to breathe into it.
Right. Yep. I like how you say that. You get to, you're being while they're doing, so that there's space for that.
Everybody has their season. Like, when we were younger, we were absolutely in our doing phases. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of leaders that are much younger than me now that work here at BAC and at AMT. And it's like, yeah, they're in the doing phase, and that's great. And they're in this like energy of growth and excitement and collaboration. And I notice, like, my husband will like to dip into it from time to time, but he doesn't want to live there anymore. He wants to just like visit. But they're very much into this intentional intensity of, yeah, and we're going to create this and do that. And it's fun. Like, that's the variety part that I like. And that's probably, you know, the age gap that Charlie and I have too. So thank you so much for joining us at the Raise Up Podcast. You can find us at raiseupmindset.com. You can get a copy of the podcast anywhere that you want to devour a podcast from. We're also doing our Raise Up response sheets. And so they are just, if you want to go a little bit deeper, you can go to our website, sign up and request that, and we'll send it out to you. We're just so grateful that we have the opportunity to just share our stories and our time with you. And Kimberly, if there is a blended family out there, entrepreneur in the restaurant business, or somebody that's particularly connected with you, where should we send them?
I would say Blended Not Shaken on social media. You can find us there for sure.
Okay. Yeah. So Instagram or Facebook, and then I believe the podcast is also on YouTube. I've seen it there. And we're just, thank you for your friendship and the time that we've had today, and just shedding some light on the power of being intentional, mm-hmm. and how it has transformed our lives, our families, and the people that we work and connect with every day. So
thank you.
Happy 2025, everybody. See you next time. Thanks again for joining us on the Raise Up Podcast. You can find us at raiseupmindset.com. Our socials link there, so you can get anything that you need from Instagram, Facebook, our shorts. You can download the podcast straight from the website. If you're listening on another platform, please like, subscribe, share. We're just getting the word out on really the encouragement and propelling the entrepreneurial movement in our communities. Thanks again for listening. We've got something special at the end of our episodes now, where it's called the Raise Up Response. This is just a sheet that, if you want to dive deeper, it's got questions, it's got takeaways from the podcast. Click the link below and you can request it. It'll take you to our website and find it in your inbox. Thanks again. Bye-bye.